DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane.
Do you want to know what's happening in the Finger Lakes? We do too. We're going in depth with decision makers in the heart of upstate New York to get the answers you need. From the team of FingerLakes1.com, this is Inside the FLX.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 489 of Inside the FLX. Today, I am joined by Chris Lejeski from the Montezuma Autobahn Center for our monthly chat. The eclipse is behind us and spring is fully underway, right, Chris?
Yeah, it's great to see all these neotropical songbirds coming back into the area now that winter is hopefully done with us, and we're starting to see birds coming back up from the Caribbean islands, Central and South America.
So let's talk a little bit about where we are now in the spring migration. Before we talk specifics, what percentage of the way through are we?
We're about halfway through bird migration right now in the Finger Lakes region. Most of the waterfowl have already passed through our region. They're going up to the central parts of Canada, boreal forest areas. Some are going to go even up to the Arctic tundra. So that's about 1,000 miles to 2,000 miles north of the Finger Lakes region. Now that we're into April and almost into May, starting to see more shorebirds and warblers, various other songbirds coming back into the Finger Lakes region. So as people are out venturing around, there are 30 miles of designated hiking trails, there's 20,000 acres of public land around Montezuma, they can expect to see quite a lot of activity.
Certainly, certainly. Talk to us about what we're seeing. You guys even had a bit of a rare visitor, I understand, over the last few weeks.
Yeah, we're seeing some birds coming back early, birds that we expect maybe another 2 or 3 weeks, typically down the road, so more like May, but starting to see some early vireos and warblers. But a rare visitor is now in the Montezuma Wetlands Complex, a bird that's typically in the Great Plains and Western North America. That's the Swainson's hawk. This is the first time that I know of that we've had a Swainson's hawk out at Montezuma. It's again, typically in the Great Plains, the wide open expanses of the Plains, Dakotas, and on over towards the western part of North America. This is a bird that's just south right now. It's south of the village of Clyde, and it's on Tyre Road near the intersection with Turnpike Road, just occasionally sitting on a telephone pole, occasionally sitting in a tree in that area. A lot of agricultural fields in that area, so it feels pretty close to home. This is a juvenile bird. We know it because of its streaky patterns on its chest, pretty dark overall. And so we know that this is less than 3 years old. We don't know exactly how old the bird is. But because it's a juvenile bird, it's to be expected that it can wander off its normal range and trajectory as it's migrating northward. This bird likely was down with all the other Swainson's hawks, mostly down in Argentina for the wintertime. It's an incredible, arduous journey that it's taken just to get here. And it's been there in the Clyde area for the last several weeks, hunting primarily small rodents. As we go deeper into spring, with more insects flying around, the diet of this bird might change into more large insects, dragonflies, damselflies, wasps and bees, things like that. So occasionally, you know, we get these wandering birds that are off the beaten trail here, and Swainson's hawk, great example of that.
Is that something that you expect, like, be here for a few more weeks and then on its merry little way, or could it stick around for a while?
It could stick around for the majority of summer. Again, it's a juvenile bird, so it's not breeding yet. It takes about 3 years for Swainson's hawks to become fully adult birds and breed. So this is likely a first or second year bird. And we'll have to wait and see if it's just a couple of weeks here, getting its bearings, and then going more northwesterly with the rest of the Swainson's hawks as they're migrating northward. We've seen juvenile birds well off course with other species as well. The wood stork and the roseate spoonbill are a couple that come to mind that we've seen at Montezuma over the last couple of years as well.
Interesting. When you guys have something, a bird like this that isn't typical for around here, is there a bit of a commotion, I guess, for folks like trying to get to the place where it is to see it themselves?
There are a lot of opportunities for people to learn about common bird sightings and rare bird sightings. One of the best ways is to go to eBird. That's an online database. Yep. Just eBird.org is the website. It's a opportunity for people to list their bird sightings in their yards, from their balconies, in their communities. People can travel all over the world now and enter their bird sightings into eBird. So that is one way that we're getting the word out. And then there are birding listservs around the Finger Lakes region. Cayuga birds, Oneida birds, Genesee birds are the three main ones that we utilize that people can post their rare and common bird sightings at.
One last question about that bird. Does it have any competition? Like, what is it in a fairly conducive space for it to, you know, remain long-term if it so chooses?
Yeah, I think that the red-tailed hawk is a common breeding bird and pretty much a year-round resident for us in the Finger Lakes region. But I think there's enough habitat, there's enough open spaces, grassland habitat, there are enough mammals, insects later on in the spring that this bird could survive for the majority of the year. However, it won't stay because it's going to have to migrate. All Swainson's hawks generally migrate south, at least to Central America, but the majority go down, way down to Argentina.
It's a long road. Yeah. Let's talk about solar eclipse. It came and it went. Smooth sailing out there at the Audubon Center.
We had a great day back on April 8th up at Montezuma Audubon Center. 120 people came out for our guided birding excursions that we led on the hour from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. We saw about 40 different bird species over the course of the day. And we took people on short hike generally. It was about a half mile walk, 1 hour long through our forest, grassland, and adjacent to our wetland habitats. And of course, the highlight being totality, which was amazing in my mind. That was my first total solar eclipse. It was interesting because right up until about 3:15, you know, about 10 minutes or so before totality, we were socked in with clouds in Savannah, New York. And as we're looking up, hoping to catch a glimpse of totality, the clouds parted just enough that we caught a brief glimpse of a mostly eclipsed sun. Just a little sliver of the sun remained for us. And then at totality, of course, it was almost completely dark. We couldn't see the majority of the habitats that we have at the Audubon Center. You know, everything was dark. The birds went quiet. The spring peepers, which are a common frog species that typically come out, get active at night, they erupted into their song with their constant peeping, peeping, peeping song. And it was like that for 3 minutes. Oh, and the other thing, mosquitoes started to come out, started to bite us as we're taking this all in. So amazing. And then as the light returned, the bird song came back. We started to see some birds flying around again. Those birds that came into our marshes, like the sandhill crane and the Canada geese, they took off once again and started getting back to their normal routine. And then slowly over time, over the next half hour or so, the spring peepers got quieter and quieter as light returned. So once in a lifetime experience for us at the Audubon Center, and so happy that we had 120 people come out from all over the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states. We saw people from New Jersey and Maryland and Pennsylvania and Massachusetts as well.
When you remember it, what for you personally will be the thing that stands out most about the total solar eclipse?
How energized people were and excited they were to come out and spend the day birding with us at Montezuma Audubon Center and hopefully catching a glimpse of totality. Of course, the clouds prevented that, but we still saw darkness, saw a lot of new faces up at Montezuma Audubon Center for that event.
Very cool. Forest restoration project complete. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're really had a great event this past Saturday. It's kind of a kickoff to our Earth Day celebrations. We had 20 volunteers up at the Audubon Center on Saturday. Many of them were either from SUNY Environmental Science and Forestry in Syracuse and Hobart William Smith Colleges over in Geneva. So young people, part of various organizations at those two institutions, and they helped us to restore 3 acres of our forest at Montezuma Audubon Center. The primary work was focused on removing an invasive plant called bush honeysuckle. This is a common invasive plant that you see in many backyards and in some parks throughout the Finger Lakes region. It's a beautiful plant, especially when it's blooming, and then the flowers are going to be coming out here in about a month's time, yellow, white, and pink flowers. However, it chokes out forest and grassland habitats. And it makes it very difficult for vegetation that our birds and other wildlife need to survive from growing. So it's a very physically demanding activity, removing bush honeysuckle. We go out there with work gloves, and we're using tools to get to pop up the roots, kind of working like a shovel, pop up the roots, and we have other people pulling the shrubs as we're popping the roots up, and then we have are affectionately known as schleppers, people that are dragging the bushes out of the forest and over into the staging area where we'll take care of them and get them out of the forest properly so they don't get a foothold again. And so this was a great event. We spent 3 hours working together on Saturday morning. Lunch was provided by our friends of the Montezuma Wetlands Complex. We continued conversation during lunch, and a great event. And we were improving the habitat for a couple of our priority bird species, the cerulean warbler, which is almost on the New York State threatened species list here because of habitat loss and population decline. The other bird that's going to benefit, the Baltimore oriole. Both of these reside in our forest habitat, and they don't do well when you have a lot of invasive species. So we've done a great job, and was happy that all those volunteers came out. We'll have many more opportunities for people to get involved as we go through the rest of the spring and summer.
If left uncontrolled, how big can those invasives get?
Yeah, in terms of height, they can get 15 to 20 feet high. Yeah. And then that root system is so extensive, it's nearly impossible to remove without the help of heavy machinery, backhoes or bulldozers. So we don't want to get to that point. So we've been working on this forest restoration project for many, many years now, and we're nearing completion. We just have a little bit more work to do, and we do have opportunities for people to get involved, and we're going to be bringing out more students here to get involved in this very important work as we go through the spring.
Conservation, definitely key to what you guys do out there. Species spotlight time. What are we tackling this month?
Yeah, so the great egret is what I wanted to highlight today. I was out leading some tours last week and noticed a few great egrets back in our marshes all around Montezuma, both at the refuge as well as the state land in Savannah. This is a tall, mostly white bird, stands about 3 feet tall, about the size of a great blue heron. Almost entirely white plumage from head to tail. The long legs are black, the long bill is yellow, and they eat primarily fish, so you're going to find them in marshes and along riverbanks, stream banks as well. This is a species that typically doesn't breed at Montezuma, so these birds that we're seeing are likely juvenile birds. Most of the breeding birds are down in the Mississippi River Valley, a little bit further south, as well as on the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic coastal areas of Carolinas and Virginia. This is an important bird species for Audubon because back in the 1800s, we had lost pretty much all of the great egrets due to habitat loss and over-harvesting. People were shooting these birds to near extinction. Millions of great egrets and other white birds were harvested primarily for their white feathers. The fashion of the day was for women primarily to wear hats adorned with bird feathers. In some cases, they had entire birds on their hats. And so because of that plume trade and millinery trade, population tanked.
Sure.
To raise awareness about the plight of this bird and other birds that was going on back in that time, when our new organization, in 1905, the National Audubon Society formed, those founders put the great egret on our logo, mm-hmm. as a symbol of conservation. And as a result of conservation organizations like Audubon and others preserving, protecting land, banning or eliminating over-harvesting of birds, we now get to enjoy birds like great egret at Montezuma and so many other areas across this country.
Very cool. Let's talk a little bit about some events coming up. May 11th is the first one we got here on the calendar. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're so proud to partner once again with the Montezuma Winery. It's been too long since we've done an event with Montezuma Winery. Happy to get back to this. On Saturday, May 11th at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're going to be kicking off the event with a guided birding walk at the National Wildlife Refuge, just down the road from Montezuma Winery. So we're going to be walking in an area that we call South Spring Pool. It's right on Route 89, just north of the refuge. We're going to take folks on about a one-mile walk for about an hour or so, enjoying all of the songbirds, the shorebirds, the birds of prey that are coming back into the Montezuma Wetlands Complex. It's a perfect time of year to be going out. Mid-May really is the peak of the songbird migration. Following the guided walk, we're going to drive over to the Montezuma Winery, where we're going to have various wine tastings. There are going to be some food pairings to go along with that. The wonderful folks at the winery are going to explain in detail how the wines are made, the different flavors of the different wines. So it's just going to be tremendous, very tasty component of this event. To wrap it all up, our friends from Braddock Bay Raptor Research are going to be joining us. They're going to be bringing in live birds of prey for a special program just for the guests that come to this event. So there's going to be various hawks, falcons, and owls presented by Braddock Bay Raptor Research. So it's going to be 3 hours total. Space is limited for this, and we are taking folks that are 21 and older. So they can go to montezuma.audubon.org, click on our programs and events button to register.
Yeah, and we will drop a link to that in the show notes as well. Still time to register for the benefit coming up in June. You talked about it last month. Talk to us a little more about that.
Yeah, we've had quite a few more people register, quite a few more sponsors for this event coming up on Monday, June 10th. It's going to be held at the Wayne Hills Country Club just outside of Lyons. And our goal here is to raise $20,000 for bird conservation work at Montezuma Audubon Center and our program that we're offering over at the Onondaga Lake Conservation Corps in Syracuse. There are a lot of different ways that people can get involved in this annual benefit, our largest fundraiser of the year. First would be to register as a golfer or a foursome and join as a team and spend the whole day with us starting at 11:30 in the morning on June 10th. Enjoy 18 holes of golf, beautiful golf course at Wayne Hills Country Club, mature trees, mature course, just beautiful. And the folks there treat us so well, and it's just a great, great day. After the golfing, we're going to have cocktails, a nice dinner reception, awards will be presented as well. Now, it's a full day activities, and we realize that not everyone can take a whole day and join us. So sure. We do have tickets available for people just to join us for the late afternoon cocktails and the dinner reception. And then if still people just can't take any time out that day, they can either sponsor the event, a lot of different sponsorship opportunities, everything from a $250 whole sponsorship all the way up to title sponsorship of $5,000 and everything in between, of course. The last part of this is going to be an online auction that's going to start on June 1st. All of this information can be found on the website, montezuma.audubon.org. On that online auction, we'll have so many different opportunities for people to win great prizes. We've got guided birding excursions, paddling opportunities, family passes to local establishments. We're going to have sports tickets, tickets to sporting events, overnight accommodations to various overnight places here in the Finger Lakes region. And all of this goes to support the bird conservation work, our next generation of conservationist program that we do at Montezuma Audubon Center and Onondaga Lake Conservation Corps.
Very cool. And I have to ask also, we are in what I would assume to be the heart of school field trip season, right? How are things on that front for you guys? Is there still time for classes to get out there or sign up for something later in the spring if they would like to?
Still time. Our schedule is filling up very quickly. starting this week and going pretty much right on through mid-June, we are very busy with school field trips. These field trips that we offer engage the whole student, everything from hands-on activities, exploring our wetlands, exploring the critters and the plants in the wetlands, to the minds-on activities of thinking about the importance of conservation, the importance of habitats, not only for birds and the wildlife, but for people too. And so if teachers are out there looking for a great opportunity to engage their student, contact us at the Audubon Center. 315-365-3580 is the best way to get in touch with us. All the information about our programs are on our website as well. And these are free. I also want to say that these are free field trips because schools will get reimbursed for the travel costs as well as the program fees that we charge. Great opportunity.
Yeah, great opportunity for kids to learn out there for sure. Hey, Chris, thanks for coming in,
as always. Josh. Appreciate it.
Hey, that'll do it for this edition of Inside the FLX. For more, check the show out on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.